2020 is the year of the midwife and the nurse, which has brought increased attention to the significant role of midwives toward the improved health of women and children. I'm Sarah Barnes, and you're listening to Friday Podcasts, hosted by the Wilson Center's Environmental Change and Security Program and Maternal Health Initiative. In today's episode, we bring you highlights from our recent event, Launching a New Study, The Impact of Midwives, which was conducted by UNFPA, the International Confederation of Midwives, and the World Health Organization, to give evidence to the potential impact of midwives in preventing and reducing maternal and neonatal mortality and stillbirths. In this podcast, panelists discuss the headline findings as well as what this research means for midwives and women alike. This episode was made possible through the generous support of UNFPA. First, you will hear from our moderator, Annika Knutson. Annika is a midwife and chief of the Sexual and Reproductive Health Branch at the United Nations Population Fund, or UNFPA. Then you will hear from the study's lead author, Andrea Nove. Andrea is a researcher and data analyst with 30 years of experience designing research projects, conducting detailed analyses, and disseminating information and evidence. And finally, you will hear from Franca Cadet. Franca is a midwife and president of the International Confederation of Midwives.
In a year that have really presented us with such enormous challenges and turned all of our lives around. The direct effects of COVID is of course devastating, but the indirect effects, especially on women and girls in so many ways, and in particular by disruption of services, sexual and reproductive health services, contraceptives, and the effects on midwives at the front line, as the frontline workers they are, risking their lives to save others. It is then, I think, even more gratifying to present evidence that strengthens the importance of midwives as providers of essential SRH services and the impact they can have on maternal and neonatal mortality and stillbirths. The article we are launching today, Potential Impact of Midwives in Preventing and Reducing Maternal and Neonatal Mortality and Stillbirths, a Life-Save Tool Modeling Study, long title, is the first in a set of publications to support and help implement the SOMI, the State of the World's Midwifery Report 2021 outcomes. And let me briefly say something about the State of the World's Midwifery series. It started in 2011 with the first publication and the first report. The second report was launched in 2014, and now in the year of the nurse and the midwife, which actually stretches into 2021, it's time for the third report. So this will provide an update, evidence base, and detailed analysis of the present progress and future challenges to deliver effective coverage and quality of midwifery services. But it also aims to improve the evidence base to enable stronger policy dialogue within countries to strengthen sexual, reproductive, maternal, newborn, and adolescent health services. So this impact of midwife study is part of and contributes to this report in a very critical way. It also projects results that very nicely lines up with the desired outcomes of the global strategy for women, children, adolescent health, and the Every Woman, Every Child movement. And it is, of course, of use to all countries, no matter where they are with regards to saving maternal and newborn lives and preventing stillbirths. So let's go into the main event. And I will actually start with Andrea to sort of set the stage for us. So what were the headline results from the study? And what does this study add to what we already knew? Over to you, Andrea.
Thank you, Annika. It's a great pleasure to be here today. So my job here is to just share some of the headline results from the study. So first of all, what did we do? We identified 31 what we called midwife-delivered essential interventions. And to count as a midwife-delivered essential intervention, it had to be something that directly affects mortality or nutritional status. There is a proven link between this intervention and mortality or nutritional status. They had to be listed in the Global Strategy for Women's, Children's and Adolescents' Health as an essential intervention. And there had to be something that can be delivered in their entirety by a midwife, if that midwife is educated to ICM standards and working within an enabling environment. So with that list of interventions, we used LIST, the LiveSave tool, to estimate the number of maternal deaths, newborn deaths and stillbirths that would happen each year if current rates of coverage of those interventions were to stay static to the year 2035 in a total of 88 high mortality countries. These are the 88 countries which account for more than 95% of the world's maternal newborn mortality and stillbirths. So we had that baseline scenario, what if these coverage rates stayed the same? And then we compared that with four different scenarios. The first one we called the modest scale up. So this is where each coverage rates of those interventions increased by 10% every 5 years from the baseline. The substantial scale up scenario was similar, but we have a bigger scale up. So 25% increase in coverage rates every 5 years. The third one was the universal coverage, which is where we projected what would happen if 95% or more of those who needed these interventions got them by 2035. And also an attrition scenario. So what would happen if there was a decrease in coverage rates of these interventions, such as might occur if there was a country with population growth and production of midwives wasn't keeping pace with that population growth. So we can see what would happen if universal coverage of these interventions was achieved by 2035. And the model suggests that this could avert 2/3 of the maternal newborn deaths and stillbirths in these 88 countries. And if we project that forward to 2035, taking into account the population growth that's likely to occur between now and then, that would translate to 4.3 million fewer deaths in 2035 than we would see if those intervention rates stayed at the rates that they are at today. The substantial scale up, the 25% increase, this was the scenario that we felt was the most appropriate balance between an ambitious scenario, but also something that is achievable. It's entirely possible to see these kinds of increases with concerted effort. And these results show that about 40% of the maternal and newborn deaths and about a quarter of the stillbirths would be averted in 2035 under this scenario. And that would translate to 2.2 million fewer deaths in 2035. You can see the results of the modest increase, the 10% increase in coverage every 5 years. And this is the kind of increase which we know is possible. It has been achieved in several countries in recent years. And here we're looking at 23% of maternal newborn deaths averted and 14% of stillbirths, translating to 1.3 million lives saved in 2035. We also looked at which of those 31 interventions had the biggest impact on these mortality figures. And we found, as I'm sure most people would expect, the main one was modern methods of contraception. That was responsible for about half of those averted deaths. And an even larger proportion in the least developed of those 88 countries. In addition to that, when it comes to stillbirths, it was hypertensive disorder case management which had the biggest impact. So Annika's second question was, well, what does this study add to what we already knew? And I would say it adds a few things. The main ones of those is confidence. So although this is based very closely on the methodology used for the second Lancet paper from 2014, LIST has been significantly updated since 2014. And the baseline data, the estimates of where we are have been refined and improved. And the way the model works in terms of linking these interventions with mortality rates is a lot more nuanced than it was back then. So the fact that we're still getting these really strong estimates of the impact of midwife delivered interventions, we can have great confidence in the robustness of these data. And also it allows us to focus specifically on what we've called midwife delivered interventions. Nobody's suggesting here that midwives should be left alone to deliver these interventions. But we did want to highlight the fact that they are an occupation group which can have a massive impact. And so that was why we restricted it to these midwife delivered interventions. And I think that gives a very strong message there that could be used it for advocacy and so on. The paper also adds some detail. I've shared with you just there the interventions that have the greatest impact, which is quite useful information. And also in the discussion of the paper, it doesn't just say, here we are, here are some numbers. It acknowledges the fact that there are significant barriers to achieving those numbers and discusses what those barriers are and the calls for action on some of those.
Thank you so much, Andrea. So let me turn to Franca for my next question. You know, reading the paper, listening to Andrea and having been part of also the development of this, why is it this paper so important for midwives, but also for women alike?
Thank you, Annika, for that question. And I'm extremely excited. And I'm excited mainly because this paper supports and confirms growing scientific evidence that should be celebrated by every woman and every midwife worldwide. And of course, if we care about healthy families and the healthy future generation, it should be celebrated by everyone worldwide. Now, as you also know, midwives are predominantly women. And through the years, I've become more and more aware of the connection between women and midwives. Women and midwives have stood together from the beginning of time. And women and midwives have suffered the same sexist attitudes. The rights of women and midwives have been eroded for centuries. And there is a growing movement of women and midwives who no longer accept the situation, and a huge amount of rigorous evidence, like this evidence, that together with human rights activists is reclaiming women's rights as human rights. And with that, they are also reclaiming midwifery and midwives. This research now, it just reaffirms all that. And as Andrea said, it makes it more nuanced, it gives us some more insights. Interestingly, this research looks at the 88 countries that account for most of the world's maternal, neonatal deaths and stillbirths. And it provides those four coverage scenarios. And if you look just at the modest scenario of increasing the coverage of midwife-delivered interventions by 10% every 5 years, it could avert 22% of maternal deaths. I mean, that's incredible. 23% of neonatal deaths, 14% of stillbirths. So with this modest increase, we could avert 1.3 million deaths per year by 2035. And the other scenarios, except for the attrition one, they only get better. So I'm sure, Annika, you can understand my enthusiasm. This is real, and we can no longer get around it, and we can no longer linger. We know that if any other intervention, as Mary Renfrew said, for example, a vaccination program, if that had the same impact as midwives or midwifery has, it would be implemented worldwide immediately. It would be picked up by the World Bank as a top investment. Interestingly, midwifery, the work of midwives, is also much more than just an intervention. So this paper talks about specific midwife interventions, but there are, of course, many more. And the interventions in general are often aimed at the short term, but midwifery supports physiological processes. Midwifery has a specific philosophy of practice that is built on trust, continuity of care, respect, equal relationships. Midwifery has a long-term impact, and this paper shows that. Midwifery is about prevention. Midwifery is about unison with women. And midwifery also includes certain necessary interventions as described in this paper. So as we all know, the maternal, neonatal deaths and stillbirths are the tip of the iceberg of many other sexual reproductive health and rights issues affecting women and babies worldwide. And this paper shows that midwives can help to substantially and sustainably reduce maternal and neonatal mortality and stillbirths in low and middle income countries. And in some other high income countries, the countries with the best outcomes when it comes to maternal and neonatal death and stillbirths, and respectful care, these are often countries where midwives are respected, are educated to international standards, are reimbursed properly, and have been totally integrated into society. So look at your country, Sweden or New Zealand, my own home country, the Netherlands. And interesting, midwives in these countries often have a wide scope of practice. And this paper talks about specific midwife interventions, such as the high impact of contraceptive care. And you often see in these countries, these high income countries, they specifically integrate these kinds of, you know, they have the widest spectrum of midwifery care. So they include contraceptive care, they include abortion services, antenatal care, breastfeeding care, cervical screening, immunization. So midwives are not only with women when they give birth, even though it is the heart of our work, of course. So what it boils down to is that women worldwide should have access to midwives who've been educated to the standards of the International Confederation of Midwives and who are supported by a team, and that magic word, the enabling environment. And we often hear that term, enabling environment, and as ICM, we will be developing tools to support us to understand what this enabling environment means. And we will also, with our members, with women, with our partners, hand in hand, support a movement for midwifery globally. If we implement this evidence, the world would look brighter, not just for midwives and women, but for humanity. And so that's why I'm smiling and optimistic. Thank you.
Thank you to our listeners for tuning in to this edition of Friday Podcasts. And thank you to the speakers and to UNFPA for your continued support and partnership. To learn more about the study, about the Year of the Nurse and the Midwife, or to view this event in its entirety, visit the .mom column on newsecuritybeat.org or follow us on Twitter at @Wilson_MHI. If you enjoyed this episode, please subscribe to Friday Podcasts, wherever you listen to podcasts.